Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello and welcome, Brave Parents. I am Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting, and my co-host today is the one and only producer of our podcast and my husband, Ryan Newcomb. And I have Ryan on the show today because we're going to be talking about AI scams. And this involves a little bit more, I think, cyber savviness to explain how really what the internet calls bad actors and how they're scamming innocent victims out of money. And I think as Christians, you know, we would just think of these people as evil or wicked in order to do this. And that's an important understanding, but we need to know how to respond. And scams, I would say, have really been around for a long time. Honestly, I think it's safe to say maybe forever. I think of the stories about Jacob in the book of Genesis, and they show him to sort of be like the con artist, right? He deceives his father, Isaac, into thinking that he is his brother, Esau, scamming Esau out of the father's blessing. Later, Jacob is scammed by his own uncle, Laban, as he works for 7 years to marry Rachel. And then on the wedding night, he's given Leah, which is Rachel's sister, right? So we know these stories from Genesis. I think all of this goes to show, first, I think Jacob is maybe the original con artist, and second, that the sinfulness of mankind leads people to selfishly scam, deceive, or con others to get what they want. And today, there's nothing new under the sun. There's just new technological ways of accomplishing this. So, Ryan, let's go ahead and jump right into this and review some of the AI-related scams that parents need to be aware of.
Okay, all the scams we are going to talk about today fall under the category of social engineering. Now, for those of you who don't know what social engineering is, let me explain. It is when a scammer tries to con a person into unknowingly giving out enough information about themselves to allow the scammer to gain access to personal accounts. Usually, the scammers are trying to gain access to bank accounts, but they've also been known to go after social media accounts as well. The first type of AI scams that are common today are phishing. Typically, phishing attempts occur through email or text messages. And these aren't new, but AI is making them more sophisticated than before. Before AI, there were artifacts that often pointed to the email's inauthenticity. Things like misspelling, strange word choices that English native speakers would not choose, or even redundant words. You could tell in the emails whether or not it seemed like it was coming from a bank or if it was coming from a foreign country that was just trying to get information out of you. And oftentimes, these types of scams are seeking the recipient to either click a link to a fake login screen to capture their login credentials, or to download malware to their computers. Sometimes they're promoting a fake charity, offering you $5,000 if you give them $100, or they may pretend to be an IRS agent and want you to disclose personal information, like your Social Security number. And they might be threatening you with an audit or other sorts of sanctions if it sounds like it's coming from the government. And those are really common during tax season when people are filing their taxes. And there's very many variations on phishing scams.
So Ryan, let me interject, because these scams really make me mad because they really prey on the elderly. And I know our focus is always talking about kids and how AI is impacting parents as they're raising kids, and we're going to get to that. But I think it's important to know that really any parent listening, if you can get your parents to know this information too, because these are the people who they know just enough information to work an iPad and have a smartphone and a computer and even maybe check email, but they are so vulnerable to these scammers, just like kids are. They don't recognize these sort of artifacts or telltale signs that are in these emails or texts. So I would really encourage grandparents, really the baby boomers as a whole, to be educated on these potential scams. Frankly, while you know on this podcast, we address parents regularly, my advice for media and technology always extends to grandparents too, because long gone are the days of what happens at grandma's stays at grandma's, right? The internet has completely changed that. And grandparents who are regularly involved in their grandchildren's lives really need to be informed and educated on these topics.
I think that's a good point to make because older grandparents are likely hearing some stories about AI on the news. They hear about ChatGPT, image generators, and the advancements in robotics. And likely they place all that information in the category of don't need to understand, because it really isn't relevant to their lives. And sadly, the same is often true regarding kids. Parents may allow them to play with tools and games using AI, but they don't explain what AI is on a level that their child can understand.
Yeah, that's really true.
The second type of social engineering scam that we're going to talk about today is called voice phishing. This is similar to phishing, but for those who don't know what voice phishing is, normally it's when a person calls a business like Amazon, Apple, or a bank and pretends to be you in order to gain more information about you with the intent of gaining access to your account. Similar to email, but now we're actually going to call and talk to someone instead of just trying to get you to give them the information by clicking on a link. For example, a skilled social engineer may call Amazon to try and get your correct billing information. Then they would call Apple and, using the information they gathered from Amazon, try to get the last four digits of your credit card number from the customer service representative there. And then finally, if they're able to get all that information, they may reach out to a branch of your bank and impersonate you, trying to gain access to your bank account. This type of phishing has been around for decades, because when you call large companies who don't know you, the scammer doesn't have to necessarily sound like you. And now this is where AI comes into play. With generative AI, now can be used to generate your voice from samples gathered from video and audio found on the internet. Then, using text to voice, scammers can pretend to be you, using a voice that sounds incredibly similar to your own. And we've seen this ourselves, because I did that with you, as I took many of your podcasts and I fed them into a text-to-voice generator, and the result was frighteningly close to sounding exactly like you.
Very much frighteningly close to sounding just like me, yes. And so really, Ryan, what you're saying then, someone could impersonate my voice and call you and say, you know, hey, Ryan, can you give me my social security number or your social security number because I need it to fill out this form? They could impersonate me to an actual family member.
Exactly. And that's very similar to some of the stories we're going to talk about today. Now, a common method is cloning the voice of a CEO of a company and then contacting other employees, authorizing financial transactions that need to happen immediately. And often they'll leave a voicemail so they don't have to directly talk to that employee and hold a conversation. And they'll make that voicemail sound very urgent. They have to do it right now. They can't wait. Don't think about it, because if they were to think about it, they would be less likely to act on it. So that's one way that it's happening. Another and very noteworthy example is the robocall using President Joe Biden's voice to discourage voters from going out and voting in the New Hampshire primaries back in January. This falls under social engineering and is a great example of how easy it is to clone someone's voice and then use it maliciously.
Now, interestingly enough about that story, I researched this and found that federal investigators were able to trace the call back to a man named Steve Kramer, who, according to an Associated Press article, says that he cloned Joe Biden's voice in order to create this phone call and did it to draw attention to the need for AI regulation. He claims that he wanted it to serve as a wake-up call about the potential misuse of AI, not necessarily to influence the outcome of the election. And he is quoted to say, quote, maybe I'm a villain today, but I think in the end, we get a better country and better democracy because of what I've done deliberately, end quote. Now, that obviously to me sounds like an attempt to kind of divert blame and claim innocence. But here we are today, we're talking about him and what he did. And certainly it is bringing attention to the need for regulation around AI, especially as we head into another election season. There's a lot of concern about AI being used maliciously to impact that.
Right. But there are situations where it's much scarier than that now. Scammers can also clone the voice of your child and contact a relative and, using the child's voice, state that they need money. Sometimes this is a simple request like, hi, Grandma, my car broke down and I need $2,500 for repairs. And then Grandma sends the money thinking that it is their child because it sounds like their child. But it might be much more sinister. Last year, scammers contacted one mother pretending to be her daughter's kidnappers. Whether the scammers knew it or not, and if they did, they likely learned about it from social media, but the daughter happened to be on a ski trip in another state with her friends. So the mother knows her daughter is in another state, away from home, and she receives this call from a quote-unquote daughter and her daughter's kidnappers demanding $1 million in ransom. Fortunately, the situation ended well because the mother quickly called her daughter, and her daughter answered and said, "No, there's nothing wrong. We're just skiing. There's no problem." So the mother didn't have to, didn't fall for the scam, didn't send the money, didn't do anything that would have been definitely impactful on their family. But at the same time, there was those moments of sheer panic for that mother as she thought her daughter was being kidnapped because she heard her daughter's voice.
And these scams are definitely on the rise. I know that lots of parents talk to me about this, ask if I've heard about this. This puts absolute fear into parents thinking that this might happen to them and what are they going to do, which I just want to add on a side note. I know this doesn't necessarily have to do with scams, but it does really on the backside is how much information your children are sharing regarding their location on social media can be seen publicly by so many different people. And a lot of times they don't know every single person that they're friends with, especially when it comes to Snapchat. You just never know when someone's tracking every movement of your location. So that, you know, it's kind of the underground, the foundation behind, you know, of protecting yourself from scams is got to make sure our kids know that they cannot be posting their every move and whereabout on social media.
Right. Absolutely. And the third common type of scam are deep fakes. I know you and Chelsea have talked about these in your last episode on AI art and images, but to recap, a deepfake is a picture or video of a person in which their face or body has been digitally altered so that it appears to be someone else. Deepfakes are typically created to spread false information and can be used in social engineering scams that we just talked about. But deepfakes can also be used for extortion and even sextortion, where a deepfake nude photo is created in that person's likeness, and then that person is asked for money in order not to distribute the photo to family, friends, school, work, wherever.
Yeah, that is definitely a disturbing aspect of AI technology. And clearly, you know, part of the problem is the sheer volume of information, data, demographics, pictures, videos, and the like that's all been posted to social media again, you know, because this content, all this data just becomes sort of treasure in the hands of bad actors and deepfake technology. They can take all of this and really destroy someone's life. But I really want to talk about, Ryan, that really unlucky businessman in Hong Kong. I think I want to go into more depth on that story.
Yes, that is definitely a fascinating story. So a finance worker of a multinational company based in Hong Kong received an email from the company's United Kingdom chief financial officer, the CFO, asking for transactions to go through. The finance worker was suspicious, but then he attended a video conference with the CFO and other visibly recognizable members of the company. And he pushed aside his concerns because he was in a video chat with them and they were telling him to make these transactions. He was instructed to make 15 transfers totaling $25.6 million to five local bank accounts, all of which he did. Well, come to find out, every person he interacted with on that Zoom call was a deep fake, likely created from public video clips of the actual people.
That is so scary. I cannot even imagine what that poor man is thinking about today after transferring $25.6 million out. Now, the real question is, did the scammers get away with the heist?
Well, the last news story I saw stated that six people have been arrested in association with scams like this, but it's unknown if they were part of this scam. Nevertheless, the arrested individuals were found to have stolen 8 ID cards and had filed 54 bank account registrations and 90 loan applications in 2023. It was also discovered that they used deepfakes to trick facial recognition software in at least 20 cases. So if you're relying on Face ID and other biometric ID forms to keep you safe, they're not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, that is the reality, is AI has given us facial recognition software, but as AI advances, it's almost overtaking itself. So now anybody can fake our facial recognition.
Exactly.
Okay, so those are some of the extreme cases for AI scams. And we know our kids are not sitting on $25 million that's going to make them targets for advanced scams like this. So, right, let's talk about some best practices for the scams that may be targeted at our kids.
First, social media. Great caution needs to be applied here. And a couple of points. First is that if a water bottle or t-shirt is being offered for free on a sponsored post, there's almost guaranteed to be a scam-like motive behind it. There's going to be a catch. And it's essential to teach kids to be wary of anything that sounds too good to be true. They need to know that it's important to read the fine print, otherwise they may be giving their credit card numbers in order to pay for shipping, and now it's being charged $29.99 a month for a quote-unquote free item. Or maybe their credit card number is going to be stolen and then additional charges are going to be made. Second is that every picture that your child posts on social media, every video that has their voice, all of this can be taken, manipulated with AI, and used maliciously.
And let me add, that includes every picture that parents, that you parents are posting on social media as well. This is where discernment really must come in. Is it essential to share your children publicly on social media instead of personally with the people who really care the most, maybe through text messages? This concern has been present for a while. You know, there's wicked people taking pictures, like stealing the pictures of your children and then going and making accounts acting like they're their own children. That's creepy in its own right. Or they're using them to create child sex abuse material. Again, creepy. But now with AI deepfake technology, this concern is even greater. And I just don't know how to say it any other way. And I've been saying it for years, but we really need to stop posting pictures of children. Even if they can consent. Yeah, mommy, you know, share that on Instagram. That'd be great. They likely have no idea of the risk that they're taking. This is where parents have to make the choice for their children's future. We do not know where AI is going to go and what the status is of all of these pictures that we have so publicly shared of our children's lives. So the time is now to discern, is this really necessary? And I really pray that most, all of you parents out there can recognize that the risk is not worth it.
And that's a great point. Extortion and sextortion are common ways to scam people out of money, and it usually starts on social media. And AI has made it infinitely easier to accomplish this by using posted pictures to create nudes and then threatening to distribute them. And this can be horribly scary and incredibly traumatizing for a child, especially young children when their parents are posting the images, and then those images are sent to them. They might not know what can they do about it. They may not know where they can go or who they can talk about it. And it's just something that if you can keep their images, their voice, their likeness off social media, it's the best thing you can really do right now. Also, if they get DMs or private messages asking them to be a model or influencer with lofty promises, these are almost guaranteed to be scams. Be sure that they don't DM pictures to anyone with whom they don't know. And this is going for older children. We're talking here, your 16, 17, 18-year-old children. If they're below 16,
they shouldn't
parents,
have it.
They should not have it. They should not be on social media. They should not have access to those accounts. They should not have it because these are very real problems that children are experiencing, and it's leading them down very dark roads. So make sure they know, we're talking older teens here too, don't give out demographics to strangers online. Talk to them about this. Help them understand so they can navigate these scams if they are solicited for them, because they will be.
Yeah. I think also, just having that conversation with your kids that they know, hey, if this happens to you, if someone sends you a picture or if someone requests this of you, you can come to me. You're not going to get in trouble. I know that this is possible, but you need to come to me immediately so that I can help you navigate this. Because a lot of times parents, or a lot of time kids, will think that I can't come to my parents because I'm going to get in trouble. But these are real, real concerns, and kids need to understand how real and how dangerous they can be, and that there's no like punishment when dealing with this. They need to know that they've got to come to you immediately. Okay, the next best practice to protect kids from AI scams, and I think this runs parallel with the social media direct messages and that is text messages and voice messages. Now, there are tons of spam texts and calls out there already. I'm sure everybody is getting them. And AI voice cloning and generative AI chatbots can make them sound even more realistic. So if your kid has a KidSafe phone, chances are that you have outside contacts blocked. And that's awesome, right? The calls are not going to get through, neither are the texts. But if they have a regular phone, like an Apple or an Android, well, the first question is, why haven't you bought them a KidSafe phone if they're young? However, if they have this regular phone, they need to know that they don't need to sign up for new car insurance. They don't need to renew their cable subscription or take a survey that's going to offer them $10 for an hour of their time. Tell them. You've got to know. Do not click on any links. Do not text back. And do not call back any of these suspicious messages. If they get a phone call from an unknown number that sounds like their friend screaming for help, hang up and call the friend. They need to know that. Just as you as parents, if you get a call from someone pretending to be a kidnapper, you hang up and you call the person that they're pretending to be. That's like the number one expert advice, is to hang up and try and validate who and where that person is. But unfortunately, this is the only way to really avoid an authentic sounding voice clone scam.
That's exactly right. And the last thing I'd want to express as a caution for kids is chatbots. One way they could be scammed is by engaging with someone who they think is a real person, but is actually a chatbot, grooming them and gaining their trust. This may lead to sending money, sending pictures, or worse, agreeing to meet in person. And once they agree, the person behind the chatbot gets involved. This allows scammers to use chatbots to connect with many children at once, and then only when it progresses to a certain point do they have to get involved, increasing their reach amongst more children.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we also have to be aware that kids who may have access to chatbots like this, they can easily, you know, not only gain trust, but they can say, hey, just go get your parents' credit card, right? So this might not just be a scam on your child. This could be a scam on you too, right? And if kids know how to access your credit card, there's just a lot of nuances that can happen here, which is why, number one, we should always wait and delay access to things like chatbots until they're old enough and mature enough to recognize these type of things. But second, our kids need to know that there is so much out there that can sound realistic, especially when it comes to chatbots and voice clones, that they really need to test and know what is real. And of course, the only way to know what is real is to be engaged in real life relationships and not spend all of your time online, where you can be easily deceived by a lot of fake and inauthentic content. If you haven't listened to the two podcasts on the chatbots and relationships that we did earlier this year, you really need to listen, because these chatbots can be so, so convincing. We as parents really need to do our due diligence to keep our kids away from choosing to be involved in chatbot-like relationships.
And it can be so easy for a young person to fall prey to this. Adults are falling prey to this. So for sure, our kids need to be aware of the potential. And honestly, as you and Chelsea have argued, young kids just need to be kept off chatbots.
They do. And all of these risks of kids falling for scams is, like I said, reduced by simply waiting and limiting before our kids have access to smartphones, to social media, to chatbots, to generative AI. The longer a child waits, the more time their brain has to develop the important skills of critical thinking, investigation, self-control, and discernment. This isn't to say you never talk about the potential concerns if they don't have access to these type of things. You still want to talk about these concerns, because there's always going to be a moment where they are away from your watchful eye, that maybe they're with friends who have smartphones or maybe access to social media. And the chance is that maybe those friends are getting caught up in some type of scam and they're asking your child for advice. Like, they just need to know what kind of risks is out there. Maybe they can use their knowledge to help others.
And I'd like to add, as we wrap up, in full disclosure, a few of our kids have even fallen into internet scams over the years. Not necessarily AI related, but one saw a deal that was too good to be true, and they got unwillingly enrolled in a recurring monthly subscription that was really challenging to get out of. We had another child who was contacted for modeling, quote unquote, modeling in another city that had a huge likelihood of turning into a very dangerous situation, more likely child trafficking than actually modeling. And one child who was absolutely adamant that the text message he received wasn't a scam. We even allowed him to learn that lesson the hard way by sending money to that random person who texted him. And I can guarantee he won't make that mistake again. While we warned all of them of scams and never to click on untrusted links, I don't think even we realized how relentlessly teens are targeted with scams and how often they don't have the experience necessary to distinguish between what is real and fake.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. And now with AI, the targeting and the illusion of authenticity will be even greater. And so we need to know about this as parents, and our kids need to know about this. I would say, don't wait for your public school's digital citizenship presentation, because chances are this may not even be talked about. We need to talk about when we are talking about really the problem of evil, because that's all around us. This is just part of the sinful nature of mankind. Unfortunately, people manipulate other people. And that's sad. And that's tragic, which is, you know, praise God, we have Jesus and we have salvation from our sins. But there are still a lot of sinful people who don't mind preying on children. And so our kids need to be aware of this. And as they navigate the online world, which they are going to do, there is no stopping that. You do need to help them do that. Make sure that they are aware of these potential scams. And parents, you need to be having this conversation with your friends and your neighbors, your small group, your PTA, your golfing buddies, whoever it is. Really, don't assume that everybody knows about these AI scams. I am regularly surprised by people's ignorance on these technological risks. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but when I start talking about deepfakes and someone says, I've never heard of a deepfake, what is a deepfake? I'm at the point now, I think, that most of us as adults need to understand what a deepfake is, especially if you are on social media, if you are posting pictures publicly, you have to understand what this is. So make sure either share the podcast or share this type of conversation, because we can't sit in ignorance.
Yes, ignorance is bliss until you've been scammed out of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's for real. Okay, friends. So that really does it today for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Ryan, thank you for your expertise today. Well, be sure to subscribe and share the podcast with others. Everyone, as I said, needs to be enlightened on these topics, whether you have kids or you don't have kids. Share it with your grandparents. Share it with everyone so that we can all move into this AI age with discernment and being educated, ready to protect our kids from the dangers that might lie ahead. All right, friends, until next week, go and be brave.